25, we're going to begin at verse 25 and just read the remaining three verses in that chapter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts 25, verse 25. Let me say again, we're glad for everybody that's here today. We want to welcome you. Amen. Lord, I love you all. Amen. Appreciate you for, amen, being here today, just worshiping the Lord. Amen. But we're ready for the word of God. Are you ready for his word today? Amen. It's the word that'll keep us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Acts 25. Verse 25, everybody have it, say amen.
Amen.
But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he had hath appeared to Augustus, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. Wherefore I have brought him forth before you, and specially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had I might somewhat to write. For it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. Hallelujah. We're going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord praise for his word today. Come on. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Verse 26 says, after examination had I might somewhat to write. I want to minister on the thought today, passing the test. Amen. Passing the test. Look at your neighbor and say, I pray you pass the test. Amen. I pray you pass the test. Amen. We have to go back a few chapters, amen, from Acts 25 to really get some context. Of course, we are speaking here, amen, talking about, amen, the life of the Apostle Paul, amen. But we've got to go back a few chapters, amen, to really get an understanding or just a little bit of context of to lead us up to where we are, to what the Lord has laid on my heart. See, it was prophesied that Paul would be taken, amen, into captivity in Jerusalem. It was prophesied that Paul would be captured, and that in Jerusalem he would be taken captive, and he would be brought before, amen, the court, and be put on trial, amen. And the Bible tells us, amen, that this prophecy came to pass, and the Apostle Paul was brought before Felix, who was the Roman governor of Judea and Samaria, amen. He was brought before Felix, amen. Now, Felix was, again, the Roman governor of Judea and Samaria. This was the same position as Pontius Pilate when Jesus was brought before him to be charged to be crucified, amen. And he was brought before Pontius Pilate. So Felix, amen, was the same, in the same position as Pontius Pilate. So this gives you a little bit of an idea of his authority and where he was. And the Bible tells us that when they brought the Apostle Paul, took him captive, that he was held in captivity, or he was kept in holding until his accusers would come. See, the Apostle Paul was being accused simply because he was preaching, amen, and teaching about his experience with this man named Jesus. Amen. He was, amen, being falsely accused, amen, because he was going against the Pharisaical and the Sanhedrin teaching, amen, and of all that they were used to, the Jews were used to, amen. Now understand again, the Apostle Paul, we know, was one who would go out, amen, and he would take captive, amen, Christians, and he would bring them in, praise God, to be charged. And we know that the Apostle Paul would say guilty no matter what, amen. Hallelujah, when they were brought before, amen, the court. But there was a high priest by the name of Ananias, amen. He was there to present the accusation before Felix, amen. There was an orator orator by the name of Tertullus, amen, who, as he began to speak, amen, on behalf of Felix, amen, or on behalf of Ananias to, amen, the governor Felix, hallelujah, he began buttering up Felix with flattering words. He began to start out with things like, we know that you have done well, and we know that, you know, you have done this, and you have done that, and you have been this, and you have been that. He was buttering him up with flattering words, amen, but he began to, as he began to speak, he began to accuse the Apostle Paul of being a ringleader, amen, of the sect of the Nazarenes, amen. He began to accuse Paul and say that Paul was the ringleader of this sect that was called the Nazarenes. Now, what you have to understand, amen, is that a Jew was not a Jew and a Jew, amen. There was 25 different sects of Judaism, amen, there at that time, amen. And the Apostle Paul was now being accused of being the ringleader of what was known as the Nazarenes. It was also known as the Way. And so the Way, praise God, was a sect of Jews who believed in the Torah. They believed in the written Torah, but they believed, amen, in not just in the law of God, but they also believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Amen. Hallelujah. My mind always goes to, he said, I am the Way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. See, the Nazarenes of this sect of Jews, praise God, or of Judaism, known as the Nazarenes, was also known as the Way. And so these folks, amen, these Jews that were part of the Way, they believed and adhered to the law of God, amen, but they also believed that Jesus was the Messiah. So they lived their life exactly like normal Jews, except they began to weigh out, hallelujah, the traditions and the doctrines of Judaism against the written Torah, and also, hallelujah, against the Spirit of God through Jesus the Messiah. Hallelujah. So they lived their lives like normal Jews. They believed in the written Word of God, the law as we know it at this time, amen. But they begin to take the traditions, amen, of Judaism. They begin to weigh it out. They begin to put it, amen, not only with, hallelujah, the law, praise God, the written law. You see, a lot of traditions, most traditions were orally accepted. They were orally given. So the oral law of the Jews, this is where, amen, they got a lot of the religious traditions, the things, amen, this is why the Pharisees, amen, and the Sadducees were so, amen, adamant about the law, because they not only followed the law, but they followed the oral traditions. And anyone that went against the oral traditions, amen, were breaking the law. It's like today. There's a lot of religious denominations that if you don't dress a certain way, act a certain way, and everybody doesn't do the same thing, then you're breaking the law of God, amen, and you're considered a backslider, amen. They consider you not even saved, amen. So this is what was happening here, but this, amen, a group of Jews were taking these traditions, and they were like, wait a minute, and they were putting them next to the written law, but they were also, amen, putting them against the Spirit of God, amen, that came through Jesus Christ, hallelujah. So they begin to, amen, if I can say it like this, they begin to question, amen, what they've been doing all these years. They begin to question, is what I'm doing really necessary in the eyes of God for me to be, amen, considered his child, for me to be in right relationship with him? Are all of these traditions and all of these doctrines really necessary? Hallelujah. Now today, when you begin to do that, it begins to ruffle a lot of feathers. It begins to cause a lot of people to stand back and question. Hallelujah. I've been there, done that. Amen. I stepped way outside the parameters many, many years ago of what what a man was considered normal, a man in, praise God, in the church. But, so this is what Paul was being accused of being the ringleader. And it's important that you understand this. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because this is why Paul was getting in, a man being charged or trying to be charged with crimes. Because breaking the law of God was breaking the law. And so Paul was being accused of being the ringleader of telling them, if I can say it like this, that you don't have to do those things. Or that's not what those things mean. Or those things really don't matter. If you want to do those things, that's okay. Don't be judging somebody that does. But don't you over here be judging those that don't feel like they need to do that in order to be in a relationship with God. Are you understanding me today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So they were accusing Paul of being the ringleader. Hallelujah. But it was also called, the way was also called the sect of the Nazarenes. And this was mostly because Jesus was from Nazareth. So all of these that were in the way, amen, or the Nazarenes, was because they believed in Jesus as the Messiah, and he was from Nazareth. But can I tell you this morning that I believe that we are Nazarenes by default? Hallelujah. How many in here will say, I'm a born again covenant believer, I'm saved, amen, I'm in relationship. Lord, I need to see more hands than that. Are you not hearing me? Put your phones down, pay attention, listen. I said, how many by the lifting of your hands will say, I am, hallelujah, a child of God. I am born again. Hallelujah. So I believe that you are a Nazarene by default. See Isaiah chapter 11, amen, verses 1 through 4, begins to describe, hallelujah, the Messiah, begins to talk about, Isaiah begins to prophesy, hallelujah, about this Messiah that was to come. Can you find that for me? Hallelujah. Just go ahead and find that if you would and pull that up. Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 4, he began to prophesy, began to foretell of the Messiah that was to come. He began to bring forth, amen, the words. And so understand that these folks knew of the Torah. And he said, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch with a capital B shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Let's go back, amen, to verse number 2. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, verse number 1. Hallelujah. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch. Let's look at that word branch. That word branch is the Hebrew word netzer. It means, amen, a branch or a shoot coming off of a main trunk or a root. This is where the word Nazareth comes from. From that Hebrew word, hallelujah, netzer. See, Jesus is a branch out of the root of Jesse. Hallelujah. So he is that root. He is that branch. He's a netzer. And he's also from Nazareth. But you know what Jesus said about you and I who just raised your hands a second ago? He said, hallelujah, I am the vine, or now I am the root. See, Jesse was the root of him, and he was the branch of Jesse. He then, when he came, he said, I am now the root, and you are the branches. You, hallelujah, are the netzer. So that means we are a Nazarene by default. Hallelujah. That means that we are connected, hallelujah, to the Jesus of Nazareth. Hallelujah. And everything that he is and everything that he will be, hallelujah, is with us. us. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord some praise right there. Hallelujah. That means we should replicate the vine. If we're a branch, we should look like, hallelujah, the root. I love it when it says when he comes, he's not going to judge by what he sees. He's not going to cast judgment by what he hears, but he's going to lay it all out in righteousness. He's going to consider every aspect. He's going to take into consideration everybody involved and everything that got you where you were. See, we judge based on what we see. We judge based on what we hear. But that branch, hallelujah, Jesse, judges based on righteousness. That's why the word says he will have mercy on who he will. He will have mercy because he judges based on righteousness. I've been judged in the past couple of weeks based on what somebody has heard. Based on what somebody has saw. God judges based on what he knows. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful today? Hallelujah, that he is that branch. Praise God. Amen. So what it is they wanted Felix, they wanted the governor to agree with their false accusations. So the high priest, Ananias, he had some yes men with him. They were Jews, but they were his yes men. Everything he said, they yes. That's right. That's right. That's right. What he said. How many knows that it doesn't take long for the enemy to rally a group of people surrounding and making accusations based on what they saw or what they heard? Instead of the whole truth. Are you with me? See, they were upset with Paul because they thought Paul was coming preaching about Jesus, and they were accusing Paul of doing away with the law. But see, we know that Jesus himself said that he did not come to destroy the law, but he fulfilled the greater purpose of it. Because it had a greater purpose when it was given that no one, no man could satisfy. There was only one who could satisfy the greater purpose of the law. So you see, he showed us why we need to keep it. Oh, come on, somebody. He showed us why the law of God and why God's word needs to be kept. See, they were accusing Paul of getting rid of the law. Because he was doing away with all of their traditions, you know. They were raised on that. Grandpa said that. Daddy said that. Mommy said that. This is how it has to be. This is what it needs to be. This is what it needs to establish. And if you don't, then you're not a true Jew. You're not a true, amen, soldier of the Lord. Amen. You don't love God. Hallelujah. And so they were accusing Paul of getting rid of the law. My Lord, when they would look at Paul, hallelujah, he was actually trying to show them a better way of the law. He wasn't trying to do away with it, he was trying to show them a better way of the law. That was not the traditions and the doctrines of man, contrary to the law. Because those traditions and those doctrines were not written. They were contrary to the law. And so we can see that Paul was given a chance to speak. And he said to Felix, he said, it's not even been 12 days since I was in Jerusalem to worship. He said, I was in the temple not even 12 days ago, worshiping God with all the other Jews. Come on, are you with me? He said, you didn't see me in the temple or in the synagogue argue with one person. You didn't see me collecting a crowd of people around me, trying to convince them or coerce them and tell them that what they're doing is wrong. He said, there's no proof of these accusations. You can't prove what I'm being accused of. See, he said, I simply believe what's written in the Torah and the prophets. Are you hanging with me? He said, I simply believe what's written in the Torah and the prophets. See, that was their Bible. Are you with me?
Yep.
That was their lifeline. That was their Bible. It's interesting because when you look at the word believe in Hebrew, we talked about this, but it's been a long, long time. I don't remember how long it's been. Amen. But praise God. Hallelujah. It's imperative that, amen, we just mention it again here, right here, because it's essential to what to understand where Paul was. And I believe it'll be essential to understand where some of you are today in your walk with God. See, that word believe in the Hebrew is la'aman. It's where we get the word amen. It's where we get the word amen. And when you say amen, what are you saying? You're saying that's the truth, and I believe in that. When you say amen to something, you say that's the truth. You're saying I believe what you just said to be true. Amen. Amen, right? And that's where we get it from. Hallelujah. See, believe is a trust and obey situation in God's understanding. It's not an intellectual dissent like the Greeks taught it. The Greeks taught it, if you just simply believe it in here, it's going to come to pass, or it is so. But in Hebrew, when we talk about believing, hallelujah, in Hebrew, you never believed anything until you actually proved it through what you did.
Amen.
That's why obedience is better than sacrifice. Because if you believe what this says, you will do it. And you will not wait to do it until you have evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. See, you've got to walk it out before you see it. It's when you walk it out is when you begin deciding. Somebody help me in this place. Hallelujah. That's why so many folks struggle with getting their faith. Amen. Praise God. I'm living because they think that they just get it in here. Amen. But in the Hebrew, it doesn't. Amen. You really don't believe. Amen. Anything until you have actually proved it through what you did. It's why James said in the scriptures, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you mine by what I do. Because faith without works is what? Dead. Are you with me? Hallelujah. If I trust and obey, if I trust what God says, then I have no problem putting one foot in front of the other and doing what he said. With all, come on. That's what's going to make me believe it. That's what's going to prove it to me. Are you with me today? Paul said, I simply obey. And I simply trust and obey what the word says. You try to add to it by all of your traditions and fulfilling all of your requirements. But I simply believe. I simply believe. Look at your neighbor and say, simply believe. Faith is demonstrated by what you do. That's why the Bible says, work out your own soul salvation. My faith is not established by what you do. It's established by what I do. We can say it till we puke. We can say it till we pass out. We can say we believe it all we want to. But until we do it, amen, and put it into action, that's going to prove it. Faith without works is dead. Come on, somebody. Do you, I don't know who that's for today, but rise up. Hallelujah. Your faith is dead. It just needs activated. Hallelujah. them. They were accusing him of doing away with it. And in heavenly terms, he was saying, I follow it more than you do. Because I actually do it.
Come on.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
What's it saying in the book of 1 John, chapter 5? It says, if you're saved, you believe. And when we believe, we keep his commandments.
Yeah.
You don't go through and do all the things that you do in order to be saved, but you do what you do because you are saved.
Amen. Amen.
Are you with me? So many folks are going through motions and they feel like, I don't pray enough, I don't read enough, I don't fast enough. And then when something happens, I don't do, they're like, it's like, see, you gotta pray 5 minutes longer. The other day, remember when you got distracted and you got up, you should have prayed 5 minutes longer. Remember this, remember when that happened, listen to me, that's not how the grace and the mercy of God works. It is not on a works system. You don't get a star every on your chart by your name every time you do your homework, every time you pick up your room. You don't get a star on your chart every time you fulfill something. See, what you're doing is, walking by faith and stepping out so that there'll be a star in your crown. Because at the end of this, we ain't gonna see, you know what happens? Hallelujah. What do you get? Remember, they don't do it now probably in school, but when we was in school, we used to get a treat. We used to get some kind of reward. Amen. So we would want to get stars so we could get the piece of candy, or we could get, the treasure out of the treasure box. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? But that quickly went away. And then we found ourselves the next week striving and trying to be better than the other students so that we could get more stars, so that we could get the prize. That's not how it works. Do you hear me? Because that fades away. Paul also said that we run this race, but we don't do it aimlessly. Why are you here today? Why did you get up this morning, shower, put on your face, put on whatever you put on, or did you put on something on your own road?
Put on my face.
Why did you go to all the trouble to get ready to be here today? Was it just so that you could fulfill some requirement?
Amen. Good preaching.
Well, can I tell you, the reward for that is going to end when you leave here today. All the blessing you're going to get for that is by what you receive when you're here. Come on. In the moment. But when you do it, it's like, who in the right mind would join a race and run? I hate to run. I see people running down the road. It looks so easy. I've tried it. My knees can't do it. My knees can't. I'm like that. Every time I see somebody running down the road, I'm like, oh. You know, it's just like, but I'm like, why in the world would you join a race that has a prize and just run in every which direction instead of toward the goal, instead of toward the finish line? That's the same difference of showing up here today just because it is to fulfill a requirement, just so that maybe God won't be mad at you, or somebody won't question why you ain't there. Come on, somebody. But you see, it's different. Paul said, because the crown that you get, you don't join a race and run aimlessly, but there's a finish line. But our reward is not like some, an earthly wreath, because they used to get a wreath, a garland, to put on their head when they won the race. It was vines, and it was woven together. And it was a garland, a wreath garland on their head. He said, that's going to fade away. He said, but what we do is we show up even when it don't feel right. We show up even when all hell is breaking loose. We lift our hands even when it don't seem right. It's getting a response. I'm still laying foundation. I trust you. Because what do? What do people like Paul do? We follow God's instructions in the Word. It says, even though you have to walk in the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to be afraid. Because I'm with you. My rod and my staff, they will bring you comfort. Are you with me? That's just what we do. It's what we do. We show up, we put up, we raise up. We speak up, we shut up, we sit down, we stand up. Hallelujah, whatever. There's a time, amen, and a season for everything. A time to cry and a time to laugh. A time to sow and a time to reap. A time to mourn and a time, amen, to have joy. But when, hallelujah, your mourning, he will take, hallelujah, our ashes, amen, and turn them into beauty. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? See, that's the kind of stuff we know. That's why we still here. That's why we come. Hallelujah. When the last 2 or 3 weeks has been, hallelujah, one thing after another, and you didn't even want to get out of bed, let alone get up and preach to people and tell them how good God is. You just want somebody to preach to you. But we show up because we know that he is faithful and he will. We follow the instructions in the Word. You ever try to put something together without reading the instructions? Once in a while, you'll make it through. But aren't you? And I know that they say men are the worst.
Well,
man, I don't do well putting stuff together. It's either be one or the other. You go in that room, I'll sit in this room. I'm going to do it, and I'll come back in. Yeah. You hear my dad? And there's that one bolt, that one screw, that one weird looking nut or some kind of washer. You're like, what's that? And you go back, and it should have been put on at step 2. Until a while down the road, and it starts getting. You're like, man, I can't walk along that. Why is it so weak? Because you didn't put it together right then. You didn't read the instructions. And you go through the instructions. Now me, see, now they start throwing in all these extra things. All these extra pieces. And I get it together. I'm like, oh my God. Why are there 10 of those left?
Yeah.
Sure. I've done that. Like, oh. How did I miss that? Now see, I'm just my personality. I take the whole thing back apart and put what goes there because that's just how my brain came. Oh, I could look at that thinking, that's going to fall apart soon.
Yeah.
And there's a purpose for that. And you may think, once in a while, a little something ain't going to make that big of a difference. But if we look at sin like that,
yeah.
If we look at what God says like that,
right.
For a sin, it's going to break you down.
Yeah.
And you'll become weak, and you're not able to stand. You're not able to be what God says. So we follow the instructions.
Right.
And we want to do what he said. Because here's the thing. The Spirit is infused in these words.
Yeah. Amen.
These were all inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. So every word is infused by the Holy Spirit. And then, when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, and we begin to step and believe in faith, that he connects us to the Word that enables us to walk it out. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. But we make it so complex. A lot of you are trying to do this without the Spirit's help. You're trying to do it within your own self. So now let's get back to Paul. Remember, Paul's before Felix. He's been arrested in Jerusalem. And they detained him, have him holding until his accusers come. Ananias has come with these Jewish yes men. And they're making these accusations of Paul. Paul has not spoken up and said, you really don't have proof of anything he just said. There's no proof of that. You won't find any of that. And Paul's saying, listen, dude. If I was trying to do away with the law, why would I be in the temple worshiping God? Why would I have even been there if I was trying to do away with all of that? Are you with me? Have you ever somebody tried to argue with you and they moot their own argument by what they're saying? And you're like, do you hear yourself? You just contradicted everything you just said. Okay. So Paul was saying, why would I even be in the temple if I didn't believe and I didn't follow the law? So now, he goes before Felix and he's telling Felix this. So Felix procrastinated. He said, I can't come to a conclusion just yet. And he said, I want you to allow Paul to be visited by his friends and let them bring provision. Now, what prisoner was given freedoms like that, who was truly guilty of any crime? So he was procrastinating. And so he was detaining Paul, but he didn't treat him like a prisoner. Are you with me? Now, Felix was married to a Jewish woman by the name of Drusilla. And so he sent for Paul. And he listened to Paul share his faith. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if he was just, you know, he probably married this Jewish woman as a political reason. Because he wasn't a Jew. So he figured if he had a Jewish wife, that he would gain the favor of the Jewish people. Because remember, they were under the Roman law. He was a Roman. And so he sent for Paul. And he listened to Paul share his faith. You remember when Jesus told Paul on the road to Damascus, he visited him there. He struck him blind. He fell off the horse. He struck him blind. He said, Paul, how long are you going to kick against the goad? How long are you going to kick against the pricks, Paul? How long are you going to do that? And on that road and in that experience and in that conversation, Jesus told Paul that he would go to the Gentiles. Paul had no idea how that would happen. That'd be like the Lord coming to me and telling me that I was going to go to China. Well, that's going to happen. Come on. Paul had no idea how that was going to happen. But now, here he is, giving the gospel to a Roman governor. You should catch something there. He had no idea when Jesus said, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles, Paul. Paul was like, how am I going to get to the Gentiles? How is that going to happen? Hallelujah. Amen. But now, here he is, giving the gospel, amen, to the Roman governor. How did he do that? Simply by being a light. That's all Paul did. Paul didn't rally up a Facebook page. Paul didn't rally up, amen, a group of people. Paul didn't get signs. Paul didn't commission, amen, and get donations, amen, so that he could travel. Are you with me? But Paul, hallelujah, simply said, let me tell you what the Lord has done in me. Let me tell you who I was. If I tell you what I've done, you would not understand how he could love me. But he met me in the middle of my sin. Hallelujah. And he said, Paul, I love you. I got a purpose for you. All Paul was doing, he didn't schedule revivals. He didn't pass out his business card and said, if you need me, call me. I'm available. Hallelujah. But there was something that was getting Paul to the place of his purpose. purpose. And it was the testing. It was the trials. It was the persecution. And why was he being tested? Why was he being persecuted? Simply because he loved Jesus. Because of his experience. How are you going to be what God and get where God wants you to be? Simply by being light. When we get talked about, when we become part of the gossip, when we are falsely accused, just be a light. Come on, somebody. I said, just be a light. If anything that's said that is not true, this word says will be brought in the light. Hallelujah. I done told you, amen, the last couple of weeks, I've been falsely accused. Hallelujah. That there's no need to try and defend yourself. Hallelujah. Because God knows, and that's all that matters. But the word says, if I trust and obey, that he will expose the darkness. What's going to expose the darkness? The light. What did he call me to be? Not a preacher, not a pastor. He called me first to be a light. Hallelujah. Unto the world. Are you with me today? Anything that's said that's not true will come to the light.
Yes, it will.
I promise you, because his word says it.
All right.
You say, well, you don't know how vile of a sinner they are. Well, let me tell you what else the word says, that sin has a season.
Yep.
And eventually, I don't care how vile their sin is, it has an end. If they don't repent and change, that sin has an end. And the end of that sin is death. Come on, are you with me today? And after Felix heard the gospel, he was convicted. Sent away. Conviction came upon him. Can I tell you, people will become angry when they know they're wrong and they don't want to admit it? Shaka Khan. I've seen it happen. Why are you so upset? Because you know you're wrong. Why are you so angry at me? See, a lot of times when a person is angry, it's because there's conviction in your life. So you need to shut your lips, bite your tongue, sit back, and let the Holy Ghost do his work. Are you with me? Don't try to argue. Don't try to debate. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. A lot of times when a person is angry, it's because they're convicted. Now he got convicted and he sent Paul away. Now he didn't let Paul go. He sent Paul back to his holding cell. Now remember, Paul had freedoms. He wasn't treated like a prisoner.
Right.
This went on for 2 years. After he shared, Felix said, come tell me about this.
Yeah.
Jesus. And after he shared that, the gospel with Felix, and he got convicted, he sent him back to his holding cell. That happened, that stayed that way for 2 years. But for 2 years, while Paul was in prison and could not leave, he was visited by friends. He was taken care of. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, hallelujah, I will not fear, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So 2 years, Paul gets to preach to Felix. But then the Bible tells us in the next chapter that Festus, a man by the name of Festus, succeeded Felix as the governor and the Roman governor. And because Felix wanted to do the Jews a favor, he kept Paul bound. It's a political thing. I'll leave that right there. Are you with me? It was political bias is what it was. So now, new governor, and the same high priest, Ananias, and those Jewish yes men, here they come, and they petitioned Festus to release Paul. They came to Festus, and they said, now I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but I can just see it, because that's how the enemy works. Felix has kept him like this for 2 years. Why? We need you to release him so he can go to Jerusalem and get put on trial. But the Bible says they wanted him to be released to go to Jerusalem because they wanted to ambush him on his way to Jerusalem and kill him. That's how much they hated Paul. Can you imagine? Can you imagine 2 years him in holding and his trial being put on hold, and these people that believe, amen, and Paul preaching and teaching this gospel, and these people, amen, receiving, and these Jewish, amen, Pharisees, hallelujah. No one the thing they can do about it. But Festus kept him at Caesarea because he said, I'm going there myself. So I'm going to keep you here. The Bible says that 10 days later that he brought Paul before him. 10 days later, Festus brings Paul before him. But guess what? The accusations couldn't be substantiated.
Amen.
The accusations they were giving could not be proven. And now here's Festus and Ananias again. Paul said, you can't bring up one law that I've broken. Now you get a hold of that. I'm talking about the Jewish laws. I'm not talking about murder and theft, amen. Now I'm talking about, he's talking about the laws of God. He said, you cannot bring up one law that I have broken. Name them. You know them all. Name them. Not your traditions. Not if you're hairy down your ankle, you're not going to heaven.
Well,
not if you don't speak in tongues, you ain't saved.
Come on.
He said, I'm not talking about your traditions. I'm talking about the law, the written law. Name one that I've broken. You can't.
Right.
You can't. God help us to be that established in our identity with God in this covenant. He said, you know what? I'm done with this local government. Paul said, I'm done with y'all. He said, I want to see Caesar, who was the Roman emperor. He said, I appeal to Caesar. They had to let him go. They had to let him go to Caesar. He said, I appeal to Caesar. But you see, here's the thing. They knew that Paul could not go before Caesar without evidence, or they'd be in trouble. So now they're upset. See, Paul's been waiting for 2 years for his trial. Amen. And he's been brought before them over and over again. Amen. And there's no evidence, no proof. He said, I'm done with you local, amen, people. I want to see the big guy. Take me to Caesar. Hallelujah. Amen. He's gone. And then we get to chapter 25. Everybody say, thank God. We're in our chapter. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm about done. Praise God. Hallelujah. So now in chapter 25, hallelujah, they're worried. See, they're worried because they know that he can't go before, amen, Caesar on their behalf without having any evidence. So now they take him, amen, before King Agrippa. Hallelujah. They brought him before the king, who was the great-grandson of Herod the Great. Now they're bringing him before King Agrippa, who happens to be a Jew. King Agrippa is a Jew. So now, amen, Agrippa was interested in what Paul had to say. I don't know what he's got to say. So Festus brought him to Agrippa, to try and get evidence. He thought maybe that that the King Agrippa would give him some kind of substantial something that would be evidence of Paul's dissension from the law. So he brought him before Agrippa. And verse 24 in chapter 25 said, and Festus said, King Agrippa and all men which are present here with us, you see this man about whom all the multitude of Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. All these people are saying he ought not live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death and that he himself hath appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him. Of whom, verse 26, I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord.
In other words, I don't have any proof.
I can't send any charges because I don't have any evidence. I can't say hail Caesar and then not have any proof to bring this prisoner. We've held him for 2 years. I brought him forth before you, and especially before thee, O King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have something to write. That I'm hoping after he is examined, and I want to, this is where I'm going. I said all of that to bring us here. This is how God operates in our lives.
Come on now.
We're examined to see how we will operate in a test, in a trial, or in a temptation. We are brought before Him to see if we're ready for promotion.
Amen.
Because that's the goal. Is to keep growing and moving and excelling. Correct. If it's not, it should be. See, most of the time, we don't know what the promotion is. I've been sitting and listen, Linda. I've been sitting for months now. Going, what's this all for?
Come on now. I feel you.
I see no purpose in this. Like, and you don't know. Really, for Paul, the promotion was going to Caesar gave him the gospel. That was the promotion. But look at what Paul had to deal with to get there. Because God told him, yo, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. Told him how I'm going to get there. And that's how Paul's getting there. He's being put in prison. He's being falsely accused. He's being persecuted. But all the while, he has the opportunity to do what? Preach the gospel to these Gentiles. Not just your average Gentile, but the governors and the emperors. Are you with me? So Paul's promotion was to get to Caesar. Can I tell you that oftentimes we don't even know we're in a test? A lot of times we don't even know that we're in a test. Things are just happening. Are you with me? And we have no idea. That's why you can say, amen. I've heard people say, see, when the enemy begins to fight you really hard, you know that something good is about to happen. And somebody comes on the flip side and says, well, how does the enemy know that? How does the enemy know what God's about to do? Amen. The enemy recognizes the testing. He understands the process. And so when he sees things come upon us, or he sees temptations or things that God allows, it's like, God getting ready to bring them up. Something about to happen. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try them. I'm going to make it even harder. Hallelujah. Are you with me? But I've come this morning to tell somebody the hell you're going through. The mess. Hallelujah. That's got you messed up. The chaos that's got you out of sorts. Things look like it is not even going to be, amen, remotely back. Hallelujah. To any kind of normal. Hallelujah. It's because God is putting you under examination. You're being interviewed right now for a promotion. You're being tested. You're being examined. Are you ready? Can you really stand the test? I need somebody to help me in this place. I've come today to talk about passing the test. It's about passing the test. It's about after examination had been done, I might have something to write against Paul. See, the enemy hates it when you don't have nothing to write about.
Yeah,
he hates it when you show up anyhow. He hates it when you stand up and lift your hands anyhow. He hates it when you walk into your prayer closet anyway. He hates it when you rejoice in the midst of suffering. He hates it when you stand, hallelujah, and you wait and you trust. He hates it when you, come on somebody, oh, we melt, we fall apart, hallelujah, praise God. It ain't about falling apart or falling down. It's about getting up and putting yourself back together. That's what the enemy doesn't like. He ain't worried about you going down, hallelujah. It don't matter how long you stay down, but the first sign, hallelujah, that you're getting up, you're down, but the first sign that you're about to try to get up, then is like, uh-oh, where you at, fear? Where you at, depression? Where you at, suicide? Where you at, rejection? Go to him, go to him. But you keep moving. You keep getting up. And it's when you get back up that the enemy knows that he is in trouble. He ain't worried about you going down. He's troubled when you get back up. I'm looking for somebody who's got to get back up in your belly this morning. And you say, God, I want to pass this test. You go on, I challenge you to read chapter 26. But Paul speaks to Agrippa, who knew the law of the Jews. He knew the law, but he didn't really keep them. Anybody like that? I know people who's in charge. I know people who have positions of authority and ministry who know the truth, but they don't walk it.
Right.
They don't live it. Come on, somebody help me. But I'll tell you what, the Lord's exposing that mess.
Yes,
he's bringing exposure. Hallelujah. There's things being exposed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Multi-million dollar ministries are being exposed right now. God said, I'm done. I got a remnant. That remnant's been crying out. Listen, I've been praying. There's a lot of people who are spiritually abused. There's a lot of spiritual abuse going on. It's been going on in the church for years. God help me, why am I saying this? There's a lot of people that have been spiritually abused. Amen. Those people that are abused, amen, when this exposure comes, when this revelation of the sin, and they begin to wonder, we're going to have to find somewhere to go. They're going to have to find somewhere to go. We got to be ready. Hallelujah, to give them truth. Amen. To be able to love them. Hallelujah, to see them healed and made whole.
Yes.
Are you with me? Paul told Agrippa, he said, I'm simply being accused of pointing hope to Jesus. I'm simply being accused of pointing to Jesus as the hope for all mankind. That's what I'm being accused of. And so then, here he is. He's in front of Agrippa, King Agrippa, who's a Jew, and he's in front of Festus, amen, praise God. First it was Felix, then it was Festus, and he's in front of them, and Festus is trying to get Agrippa to come up with something that he could write down during his examination. See, Paul passed the test. He couldn't find anything. But Paul begins to tell them the story about Damascus. He begins to say, I was the one that murdered Christians and the women, arrested them. And I said they're guilty, even when I didn't know if they were guilty, and they were guilty of nothing. I automatically said they were guilty. Paul is the one that was there when Stephen was stoned to death.
Yeah.
Paul said, I was on the road to Damascus riding my horse with my orders, and I got knocked off my horse, and I was struck blind. And Jesus came to me. And he spoke to me, and he talked to me, and he told me that I had a greater purpose, and that what I was doing was not his will for my life. And Festus said, oh, Paul, you've gone mad. Now, you don't expect anybody to believe that mess, Paul. You've gone mad. But there was still no evidence of any of the accusations. I remember Agrippa was a Jew. And Festus looked at Agrippa and he said, you believe the prophets, don't you? He was putting Agrippa into a corner to send Paul to Caesar because he had no proof. He was putting it on Agrippa. He said, you believe the prophets, don't you? You believe that there was a there, you believe that they sent a Messiah to him. He said, you believe the prophets, don't you, Agrippa? And he was putting Agrippa in a corner to where he didn't have a choice but to send him to Caesar. And this is what Agrippa said. He said, Paul, you might have been set free had he not appealed to Caesar. But because he appealed to Caesar, Paul was a Roman citizen. Keep that in mind. And he didn't accept their decision as local government. And he appealed to go before the emperor. King Agrippa had no choice. Because, see, had Paul not said, I appeal to Caesar, they would have let him go because they had no evidence. But now they had to follow the law and let him go to Caesar. Are you with me? Are you catching the connection? The test, Paul, passing the test. And Agrippa said probably one of the most famous quotes in the Bible. Paul, thou almost persuaded me to be a Christian. You almost persuaded me to be a Christian. This is where the word Christian is used in the scriptures. And Christianity was a sect of Judaism. Because they were little cross followers. Christianos in the Greek, little cross followers. Mm-hmm. That's what a Christian is supposed to be. Amen. Not a church goer, but a cross follower.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
And he said, you almost persuaded me to follow Jesus. And so get ready to come to the music. Paul's willingness to just be a light put him to the test. I want to encourage you today. Just keep being alive. See, Paul passed the test because he refused to deny his experience with truth. He refused to deny his experience with truth. This is why the enemy doesn't want you to have an experience. He is not a bit worried about you showing up this morning for church unless,
come on.
You have made up your mind. And you're one of those, this is what we do.
We come anyway. We praise Him anyhow. We pray regardless. We trust regardless. Passing the test. All because He refused to let go of His experience with the truth. This is why it's happening. I don't know how many of you here today can relate to this. But it's what the Lord is laying on my heart. And the enemy would love to have something to write. You said, how many times in your what you're going through have you wanted to quit? See, I don't ever have any thoughts of walking away from my relationship with the Lord.
Right.
But I have thoughts about leaving this. Not because I'm lazy or I'm mad or I'm upset or I don't want to. But you just get right to that place like, God, I know what I'm like as a congregant. I know what I'm like out there. I've been there. God, you know what kind of member I am. Let me sit with you. I'll be there. I'll show up. I'll do. God, you know my heart. Because sometimes self is just rough. People are hard. Life is hard. Things don't make sense. And I catch myself. I have to laugh at myself. Because I will literally entertain and think about doing just that. Like, my season's done. I'm done. Dude, I'm about 60. I'm done. And then, 2 minutes later, I'm walking to the bathroom and I catch myself thinking about next year. I'm like, you're such a dummy. You just thinking about quit. Now that you are thinking about next year, this next year, that. That's because when your heart is fixed, and I don't say that boasting, I say that, amen, truthfully telling you that when your heart is fixed, and I said yes to God, I meant it. So I don't know. I get it. I understand. And this has been a year for the books, man. I've said that before, but dude, this has been a year. 2024, no more. That's going to be my motto for January 1st. 2025, let's jive, right? Come on. I mean that. 2024, no more. Behind me. Hallelujah. But I want to pass the test. When I'm under examination, and God sees enough in me to prove me, and try me and test me, and the enemy said, I don't have nothing to write. Remember with Job, and God said, stand with me. God said, and Satan said, he said, I've been looking for somebody. He said, have you been looking for Job? He said, yeah, but you won't let me touch him. I can't find nothing. God said, well, I'll let you do this, this, and this, but you can't have his life. So I don't know the extent of your tests and your trial or your temptation. I don't know what all yours entails, but I do know this. Not a promotion. Has to be next. I don't know what that promotion is, but you're being interviewed. And it's about passing the test. So if you're here today as they get ready to worship, if you're here today, you're lost, you don't know Jesus, today's the day of your salvation. Today's the day for your life to change. So if you don't know him, and you're ready to say yes, I'm going to ask you to come. Give you the opportunity right now to come and say yes to Jesus. Yes, I know I'm a sinner.